Let's get talking with some early morning conversation.
What's happening, my friends? And once again, welcome back to Breakfast with Kovu here on the Big Bad Trickstar Radio. As always, we have another fantastic addition to the interview hour section, our daily conversation that we like to have with different artists from around the world about the projects they are working on, of course, where they've come from, and of course, as well, what they have on the way. Today, we're going to be talking to an artist who I've got a lot of time for, having listened through his discography quite heftily over the last few days. I've been really enjoying the sounds and I'm really excited to talk about what's on the way for him. We are joined by Man Like Kelpie on the line. How are you doing, sir?
Hey, what's up, G? I'm so good, man. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you.
It's great to get you on the line, man. Obviously, we're doing this call internationally, so obviously, it's really good to kind of find a time that works for both of us and obviously get into this conversation. Obviously, you've been very busy recently by the sounds of it. It sounds like you've been on the move a fair bit as well. So first up, how has 2022 been for you so far? Because it looks like you've been very busy.
Yeah, you know, 2022 it's been very busy for sure, which is such a big blessing. I've been really working on learning new crafts and trying to adapt, still being in the pandemic kind of, you know. So it's been a creative year more than anything else. I've been producing a lot of music. I've been getting ready to put an album together. And yeah, man, been in the Caribbean a lot, which has been really refreshing because I haven't been there for a while back home. So yeah.
Interesting. I mean, obviously, with that kind of traveling back and forth, do you find that to be quite an inspiring thing, being able to move around again and being able to, I don't know, soak up different atmospheres and things like that?
You know, it's a very inspiring thing, but it's also a little bit stressful at times because you never have like your full wardrobe on you or anything like that. You're kind of like, you live like a nomad, right? But it is inspiring, like especially going back home, because I was stuck in the UK like all of end of 2019 into 2020, go on. I was in the UK, you know, so that was a very new experience for me. So what happened was going back to Trinidad, and I went to Barbados as well, and I was in Barbados for a while. It just kind of, it gave me a different energy. It allowed me to kind of, I don't know, it just made me feel different, and that affected the music. It affected the genres that I wanted to add into my sound. You know, it just really affects me creatively. So it's been really positive, I'd say.
Amazing, man, amazing. It's good to hear that there's a positive side to it, because obviously the last few years have been very, very crazy. On a sense, globally as well, more than anything else. But the good thing, there is at least one good thing that's come out of it, and that is, of course, this kind of inspiration that has come from everything opening up again, man. It's been really, really exciting to see. So, obviously, with your sound, it's been something that I've been trying to dissect over the last few days, listening through the catalogue, because obviously there's so many different layers and directions to it, clearly so many different influences all being woven in. First of all, how would you describe your sound to someone who, say, has never heard you before?
Okay, so the genre that we are pushing right now, because I'll get more into this when it comes to the South by Southwest stuff, right? But the genre at the moment for Trinbagonians is something called New Calypso. And that depends on the artist, really and truly. But for myself, I have so many different influences, and it's quite interesting for myself as well, because I just like what I like, and I just like vibe more than anything else. So I've been singing a genre called calypso music since about the age of 6, which has been, you know, that's been like my background. It's been like my backbone, to be fair. And then my family listened to so much reggae and so much R&B and soft rock growing up that I just naturally liked that style of music, you know? So myself now as a producer artist, I have dancehall in my music. I have rock in there. There's calypso in there, pop. So I don't really discriminate against any genres, to be fair. I just kind of sit down, and if I feel as though this song feels like, okay, yeah, a rock riff might work in there, or yeah, I feel like a dancehall drum pattern might work in there, I just kind of go with the flow and I go where the energy takes me, which is why location matters so much when I'm producing. Definitely. Especially, you know?
I was going to ask about that. Yeah. Like, do you find yourself when you're, because I'm assuming you have kind of like a potential way of kind of portably producing when you're on the road and things like that. Do you find you're naturally kind of drawn towards different sounds when you're on the road?
100%. We just literally flew to LA last night, and I'm on Venice Beach right now.
Amazing. You know, I'm pretty jealous, I can't lie.
Taking a little vacation, you know, so I was like, let me just go next to water so that I could feel inspired and want to create again. And it really, like, just seeing other people do their things, being in a new culture, it is so different. We're all so unique. So me seeing that difference really allows me to dig into my difference and find things that I didn't even know about myself. And that really does affect the music, you know? So I would love to just go sit on the grass on the beach and put my headphones on, create a beat, because it is going to sound different. And it's so crazy.
Definitely. Yeah, no, it's so interesting to hear how those different influences kind of like fold in. And obviously, it's just such an interesting kind of discussion. And again, having kind of broken down the catalogue over the last few days, it makes a lot of sense. Obviously, to the listeners locked in, if you haven't had a chance, go and listen through the kind of full breadth of the catalogue that Calpe's currently got up online on streaming, because it's so interesting to kind of hear how they all kind of fold in together. On a similar kind of topic then, talking about catalogue more than anything else, obviously, we're going to talk about the new single, which is an absolute corker, by the way, I've got to say. Absolutely wicked tune. I'm very excited to run. I wanted to quickly ask about last year release-wise, because it seemed like you got through a lot of different sorts of sounds and styles. Can you talk me through how last year kind of went in regards to actually putting music out there?
Right. So last year, I would say, was one of the more challenging years. Reason being is nobody could really expect how to go about releasing music and whatnot. Also, again, that was the first time that I was traveling that much and that regularly. I was in Barbados for a pretty long period of time because I couldn't get back to my country. And then I went to Jamaica, which is when I started really, really digging into what I could potentially release, right? So I met up with some producers in Jamaica. I met up with an artist called Mortimer after the first South by Southwest Island stage, Island Wave, right? And we came up with a song called Lessons, right? So that would have been the previous song from Jump Off, which is the new one, right?
Yes.
And yeah, man, I think that song in particular was like that turning point for me, because that was when I really was getting into production and discovering what I could do, as well as I had another artist and other producers with me. So it was such a collaborative effort that there's like reggae in there. That was the first time I started really incorporating like rock guitars in there and trying to bring trap into it. So that, you get what I mean? Like, it's such a, that's where the blend, I know there's always been a blend, but this is where I think I'm really content with what I want to sound like and whatnot. Yeah, man.
Interesting, man. It is interesting. And again, kind of looking through all of that progression and stuff, would you say like you're happiest now with where your sound is?
You know, yes. There are songs like from my previous catalog, like Feel Good Playlist and Home. And I mean, I connect with all of the music, of course. But I think like as we grow and we become who we really want to be, or like, you know, sometimes you don't really, you don't know how to be your true self, especially depending on where you grow up and the family and the environment. Sometimes you don't really know who you actually are until you kind of go to other places and you see people out of their comfort zones and stuff. And I'm actually getting to that point now where I'm so comfortable in who I want to be, or who I'm going to be, or who I am, that I'm in love with the music. You know, I'm to the point where I believe the music, you know. I speak about things that I try to inspire myself. It's music for me is therapy. That's what I look at it now as, you know. So it's all about vibe for me. I have to feel it. It can't just be any and everything, you know? So that's where I'm at mentally. And I'm content with that. You know, I really appreciate that. That's a blessing to me.
Amazing, man. Amazing. And it's such a cool kind of thing to hear, especially in kind of like a creative mindset more than anything else. And it does lead us on very nicely to obviously the most recent tune. Obviously, we're talking about Jump Off, which I'm very keen to talk about, because this tune very much blew me away. First of all, how long was it in the works for? Because it feels like this is a tune that's been very well thought out.
Okay, see, man, I'm happy to hear that, and I'm so happy that you're feeling it, bro. That means a lot. But this song has been in the works for about 3 years now, if I'm being honest with you. And it's such a process, because I came to LA for the first time, and through meeting some new good friends, they linked me with some producers by the names of The Animals, right? And we just started working on a bunch of music. We started basically working on an EP without even realizing it. And this song Jump Off came up, and I can't remember where the idea of it really came about from. But I think one of the guys over there called Richie, he just started playing a drum pattern, and we have totally different styles. So this was actually a really cool turning point for me as well, in terms of understanding production, in terms of understanding how I could blend sounds from the Caribbean with them being like from LA. So having that trap and that hip hop and rap, and you know, it just gave me that inspiration to find a new genre. And that's kind of how Jump Off started. So fast forward now to a couple of years later, where I'm now producing. What went on was, now I loved that first version of Jump Off, but I kind of started thinking to myself, okay, well, now I have the ability to express exactly what's on my mind sonically. So let me try and not be too precious with the ideas. Let me try and challenge myself and see what else I could come up with, right? And I went in there and the intent behind the song, because now I had a whole new meaning of the song as well. So much time had gone by, so many experiences had gone by that really impacted my life. So I had a brand new meaning to the song, and I just wanted to I wanted to show that, and I wanted to represent that sonically. And I also wanted to represent the Caribbean a little bit more. And I understood how to do that now. So in terms of having drum patterns that were more calypso, dancehall, and then you get what I mean, but still incorporating the guitars, still trying to make it quite edgy, but Caribbean. So this version of Jump Off is actually the most recent version. It's been reproduced a bunch of times.
It's amazing, though. It's amazing to hear the amount of journey it's been through, the amount of the redesigning it's been through to then let's see this one land. Obviously, it's been out for a couple of weeks now.
Right.
How have you found the response to it? Because it feels like this is an important tune to you. Like, do you feel it's actually getting the reception you were hoping for?
Yeah, you know, the thing is, when it comes to reception, is like, I'm always just, it's been really positive, to be fair, because it's been out for just under 2 weeks now, and I think people are just kind of really, they're intrigued by what things are sounding like. I'm not one of a type of person to really leak sounds beyond or play things for a lot of my friends before it's finished. So all of the people who support the music, them hearing this now was brand new. You know, they've heard like the old versions of these songs and whatnot. So it was really refreshing to see that they were vibing with it. Even yourself, bro, like to hear that you're vibing with it and you're resonating with it. You know, that's the reception that I want. So the reception's been really positive. I got a chance to perform it live at South by Southwest a couple of days ago at the Island Wave. And that was crazy because now that's a live representation of the song, which was hard, in my opinion. You know, like it just was like, that was like, I was just releasing anger or whatever. I was on stage and I really connected with it. The audience connected with it. And that was the first time a lot of people would have even heard the song, you know, because it's still so early in the works, right? It's been positive.
Amazing,
no
man. I really wanted to dive into talking about South by Southwest because obviously this is a pretty globally acclaimed kind of stage to be on, and obviously the stage you're on is something that's really cool to kind of watch as well. How did you find the entire kind of process of the festival more than anything else?
Okay, so it was very challenging, if I'm being extremely honest. It was actually it's actually such an interesting story, right? The whole journey of South by Southwest and trying to, because this is my third year doing South by Southwest.
Yeah, I was gonna say I've seen you've been on it a couple of times before, haven't you?
Yeah. So I went on first year a couple. I can't remember exactly when I went on the first time, but last year was the first time we had this initiative of having a stage of Caribbean artists together, right? But it was South by was cancelled physically, so we had to do it virtually, and which is why I was in Jamaica. Which everything happens for a reason, right? But the challenging parts of it is being from the Caribbean, bro. It is not as easy as people might think to get the things that you need to travel and perform away. So something as simple as a visa, well, not as simple as a visa, but something like a visa, things like that just became tough. You know, artists not really having an outlet to be able to financially fund traveling to South by and paying their back line and, you know, all the dramas, the flights and everything, right?
Yeah, of course. So there's a lot of stuff, you know, that people don't necessarily think about.
Exactly. There's a lot of moving parts constantly. And we were trying to do this for 30 Caribbean acts, well, not acts, but their teams, the band. You know, we wanted to have a fully Caribbean stage at South by so that we could help each other make more noise. That's what this was all about. So this was the first year we had a physical island stage called the Island Wave at the Flamingo Cantina, and it was incredible. But the process getting there was traumatic. Like the entire team, two of us made the flight to Austin. The rest of the team literally missed their flight. So you're talking about, there were two, myself and another act called Jimmy October. We had to like literally get everyone's baggage, everyone's guitars. Like, man, it was challenging. But I always like to say, you know, things that are challenging, you know that there's going to be greatness that comes from it. There's going to be something that really is worth it at the end. And we just kept positive. The show was incredible. Everybody brought their A game. The audience, they were so receptive and so supportive as well, that I think it just really inspired us all as Caribbean artists. Like, yo, okay, there's a market for us here. There's something that is new to the world that they can appreciate. And that just made us want to go even harder. We want more gigs. You know, we're ready to go.
Amazing, man. It's such a good thing to hear that it ended, the actual performance ended up going well as well. And obviously, there is such a kind of a catalogue of things that can go wrong when you're putting something like that together. And 9 times out of 10, obviously, people will turn up. They'll see the show. They'll see everything going really, really well. And the thought won't even enter their head. But obviously, behind the scenes, there are always a ton of potential dramas. You know, always, each and every time. It's one of the reasons I stay so clear of running events myself. I can't deal with it. It properly throws me, but honestly, it's really exciting to kind of hear how, more than anything else, the enthusiasm that you clearly have for what you're doing, and it's genuinely quite inspiring to listen to. And with that, I do want to ask kind of what else is on the way for 2022, because I'm getting the impression there's a few things planned.
Yeah, man, definitely. So I am actually working on an album at the moment. So there's going to be an album around August time, and beyond that, there's singles that are going to be coming out from that album. So I don't want to give the exact date yet, but there's one coming out just before summer, I think around May time, that I'm really excited about. More visuals on the way, more shows to come. We have a potential Soho Warehouse gig, myself and a couple other acts from the island wave, while we're in LA. So we have some cool stuff that's bubbling up and that are creating other opportunities from, you know. So yeah, man, a lot of music to come.
Amazing, man. I'm so excited to see it all come together. And obviously, I'm going to be keeping a very close eye on all the releases as they do land. I'm really excited to see how things develop. And I've got to say, sir, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show today. Thank you for joining us.
So much for having me, man. I appreciate you, dog. Bless up.
It's been great, man. It's been really, really good. What we're going to do is we are going to jump into the sounds of Jump Off next. We're going to give it a quick run through. And then following on from that, we're going to get into today's episode of The Dub Shack as we continue to explore the history of system culture here on The Breakfast Show. Keep it locked and don't go anywhere. We are live on Trickstar Radio this morning. This is Breakfast with Kovu. Don't go anywhere.
Brand new here on Trickstar.